This coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parashas Bamidbar. And of course, we introduced the Barak of Bamidbar with Hashem speaking to Moshe, Bimidbar Sinai, in the wilderness of Sinai. Now, why stress the Midbar? So Rav Amital Zatzal, the Rosh Yeshiva of Har Etzion, explains, based on the Maharal, that the Torah is telling us that the nation was built in a place of desolation, against all odds. And technically, Rav Amital noted, one would expect the nation to grow in a place that was ripe for growth. But Am Yisrael are commanded, on the one hand, to fulfill the most elementary requirements, which should be the basis of any proper moral society. On the other hand, they're also commanded this with no connection to anything that's come before. They start off on a clean page in the empty wilderness. And that's the message of Bimidbar Sinai. On the one hand, Am Yisrael, organized and arranged by Hashem's direct command, is in constant conflict with the wilderness, representing absolute chaos. And yet, on the other hand, they're in constant conflict with other nations of the world who build their societies based on human priorities. And so the Bamidbar, while still connected to Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, you have to always, as a Jew, walk that tension, Bimidbar Sinai. We're also told to Mishpachosam Leveis Avosam. We're told Se'u'as Rosh Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael. This parsha, we are going to see that they're supposed to be counted to their families and to the families of their fathers. So the Gemara in Bava Basra, in regard to issues of Yerusha and Yevamos, in regard to Yichus, notes that the family of the father is called the father of the family. Mishpachas Av Kriya Mishpacha, Ein Mishpachas Eim Kriya Mishpacha. Now, it's fascinating that in regard to certain issues, we're interested in the lineage and purity of the mother's line, and yet at other times, it's the father's lineage that makes the difference, and how are we supposed to understand that? And so Rav Schechter pointed out to us on a number of occasions that there are two different titles of significance in family relations. There's Mishpacha, and then there's Sher Basar. When it comes to issues of illicit relations, the Torah refers to a Sher Basar that you can't approach. Ish al kol she'er b'saro lo sekrav legalo serva. Hence the title Mamzer falls on the one whose mother engages in inappropriate relationships, but doesn't make the person, she doesn't make her child, Mishpacha, a family. When it comes to Mishpacha, family is determined on the basis of Beis Av. And that's what the Torah is telling us over here. L'mishpachosam l'beis avosam. When it comes to family, it's based on the father. There's no contradiction there between when we follow fathers and when we follow mothers. They're just two different qualifications. When do we look at Sher Basar? When do we look at Mishpacha? We're told that as B'nai Yisrael continued, Ish al diglo litzivosam, each man on his degel. And the Medrash notes that Moshe Rabbeinu was constantly worried about this concept of degelim and the damage that might result from the infighting that would arise as each shevet jockeyed for the best position in the traveling camp. And so Hashem reminded him that they already had a trial run when they carried Yaakov up to his burial in Eretz Yisrael, and that location where each son found himself would be the deciding factor here of where they would camp. But why would an episode of generations past make a difference at the present? So the late great Rav Mordechai Rogoff suggested that Hashem was calming Moshe Rabbeinu to realize that the people were already conditioned to be mentioned even in trying times. That if people already understood how to be mensches when they were in pain over the loss of Yaakov, they would be mensches in the present when they had opportunity to grow as well. I think I remember hearing this thought of Rabbi Rogoff from Rabbi Frand, who once suggested that we see that it's an incredible thing in Jewish history as well. Even under the most dire of circumstances, because we are preconditioned to be a mensch, we are therefore mentioned all the time. And that begins where we establish ourselves. And so therefore, in trying times, be a mensch. Ishal digol lebeis bo'sos lebeis avosam yachanu b'nei Yisrael. We're told that each person will camp surrounding Oa Moed, based on where he and she is. So Baruch Mordechai Ezrachi, she continued to be well, once noted that the parsha surrounded two major themes, counting and camping. And why? And so Rav Ezrachi explained that there is a certain superficiality that governs the world and the generations. Each person often gets lost in the boxes in which he or she fits. And so that's especially so among the nations, where it's not who you are that makes a difference, but to whom you are connected. And the Torah fights that superficiality and encourages us to remember that we're complete maximums. Each individual is a maximum. And in that regard, as Rav Ezrachi says, two is not greater than one in number. Two ze shtei maximumim, right? It's two maximums together. But at the same time, each maximum is at its maximum in its proper environment. And that's why the camping was stressed. And so therefore, ish al diglo yachanu b'nei Yisrael. Each person needs to know his own place, and he has to understand that idea, that he counts, but also that while he is an important individual, he also has to realize that he goes from where he is, and he's at his maximum where he is. We're told, ish al yadol ledigleihem, each person is on his place according to their flags. And why did it take a whole year for Hashem to assign the Golem for Bnei Yisrael? Why didn't he do it right away? And so we've noted many times in the name of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky that the Golem represents the diversity of Kal Yisrael. Each Shevet has its own unique traits. And this is the potential to cause people from different Shvatim to grow apart from one another. And so as such, Hashem waited until there was a Mishkan set up. And so therefore the Mishkan would serve as a hub that would unify all of Am Yisrael, and that would bring people together. And we're told, Kein yachanu ledigleihem, v'chein naso, ish lemishpachosav al beis avosav. Rabbi Per Shalit to the Rosh Yeshiva of Far Rockaway noted that it's important to us to understand that while the Torah of all of us is the same, and the halacha is the same, the worldview is different. And by being different, each group prevents the other from going off the path and becoming too extreme. Erlich HaYidin, as Rabbi Per used to say to us, can also look and be different as long as their commitment to Torah and halacha is the same. And in that regard, Rabbi Per told us that he remembers that he met with Rav Yaakov once, who told him not only can they be different, but they have to. And that's the diversity that keeps us going strong. And so again, this understanding that there is a place for different shvatim, but they all have to be saviv lamishkan. They all have to be able to keep the Dalet Amos. Rav Shechter always says to us that there are Dalet Amos shel halacha. It's not one line. It's Dalet Amos. You have to be within the Dalet Amos, but you also have to be not standing on the line. We're told, Eila told us Aaron and Moshe, and we are told of the offspring of Aaron and Moshe, of course, but then we only mention the children of Aaron. And Rashi cites the Gemara, which notes that when a person teaches his friend's child Torah, it's as if he raised him. Aaron's biological children are listed. They're listed as the children of Moshe and Aaron. Sir Shlomo of Elba, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, observes that a teacher needs to show devotion to a student as if the student were his own child. But in turn, the student needs to relate to the teacher as a parent. And maybe that explains what Elisha said, Avi, Avi, Rechem Yisrael, Uparashav. He saw Elio as a Rebbe, both in both parents, both his father and his mother. Finally, in this week's Parsha, this week, Sunday, will be Rosh Chodesh, which means the Haftorah will be the Haftorah of Machar Chodesh. And we, of course, will read about Yehonasan and Shaul, and Yehonasan and David. And at the end of the Haftorah, Yehonasan makes the promise to David, Hashem yeh beini uveinecha, uvein zavi uvein zarachat ha'olam. Hashem will be between me and you. What does this have to do with Erev Rosh Chodesh? And if the relationship between David and Yehonasan was so strong, why did Yehonasan need to relinquish his right to the throne to David? So Rav Soloveitchik suggested that the lunar cycle represents Jewish history. It had a highlight during the reign of Shlomo HaMelech, but it shrunk until it got to a nadir at the time of Tzidkiyahu. And yet when we think we're done and out, we're told Machar Chodesh not to worry, because tomorrow's Rosh Chodesh and we'll endure. And Yehonasan knew that the hope of Jewish destiny was built around David and his reign. And so for the sake of the people, Yehonasan transferred his rights to David. And thus at Kiddush Levana, we're told, David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. We're told that there's a symbol that the new moon was spotted. And so therefore, we're told, David Melech Yisrael. David is the connecting piece. And that's why Yehonasan said, I'll make the deal with you. I want to make the deal with you. I know that the future exists with Malchus Beis David. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us that opportunity to achieve and relate and be mesameach us b'malchus beis David mishicho b'mehirah v'yameinu, a Shabbat Shalom to all.